Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
Do you want to be tried on the sidewalk? Do you want to shop by automobile? Would you like a quiet refrigerator? It's a fast-changing world, July 1922.
100 years from today.
Update: the Battle of Dublin is over. It ended at the Granville Hotel in O'Connell Street, with the Irish Free State Army facing only six remaining anti-Free State rebels. A total of 65 anti-Free Staters are dead, among them the former Charles Burgess, latterly Cathal Brewer, the Minister of Defence of the so-called Irish Republic these last 3 years. Mr. Brewer refused to surrender and was fatally shot. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues just days after the assassination of the German Foreign Minister, Walter Rathenau. The political journalist Maximilian Harden was almost killed when he was stabbed by two men who presumably were affronted by something he wrote. That doesn't narrow it down very much, as in recent years, Herr Harden has offended almost everyone. He has been a Weimar Republican, but bitterly critical of its president, Herr Ebert. A couple of years ago, he was a monarchist, but scathing about Kaiser Wilhelm II and the homosexual coterie around him. During the war, he demanded the German Reich conquer all of Europe, Asia, and Africa, but he now presents himself as a pacifist. So his fluctuating positions have brought him many enemies, although there is disturbing talk that his would-be assassins may be members of the Freikorps. Earlier this year, Bolshevik Russia ordered valuable church property, such as jewelry and paintings, to be confiscated to pay for famine relief. Certain church leaders objected to that and were arrested. Now, following a trial in Petrograd, as St. Petersburg is presently known, 11 more high church officials have been sentenced to death for interfering with the state's confiscation of the Almighty's property. Among them is the Petrograd Metropolitan Benjamin and Archbishop Sergius, Bishop Benedict, and the canons of Petrograd's three largest churches. In France's North African protectorate of Tunisia, there is a new monarch. Mohammed VI Al-Habib has succeeded his cousin, Mohammed V An-Nasir, as the Bey of Tunis. He is said to be somewhat short of cash and dependent on the French authorities, but he is the first Bey to be included in the Friday prayers of the faithful in Tunisia, his name replacing that of the Ottoman Sultan. Election season in the Netherlands. For the first time, women have been permitted to vote in elections for the Tweede Kamer of the States General. No party won a majority, but the Prime Minister's grouping, the General League of Roman Catholic Caucuses, has increased its plurality to just shy of a third, winning 32 of the 100 seats. Election day is held over 3 days in Finland, an odd practice, but the half week of voting has now concluded, and the Social Democratic Party remains the largest in Parliament. Elections have been held for the upper house of the Icelandic Parliament, the Alting, for the 6 seats that were previously appointed by the King. They are now elected by proportional representation across the country. In In the United States, the Great Railroad Strike is underway. 400,000 railway shopmen have walked off the job.
Mammy is feeling sad today. Her child is called Black Rose at play. She says, come here and kiss me, my honey dear, and things are not as bad as they appear. Georgia Rose, dark as night, I know you've a heart, lily white. To the good Lord above, we all look just the same. So don't hang your head in shame, don't be ashamed. Georgia Rose, my Georgia Rose, Georgia Rose, my Georgia Rose, don't be
Georgia, as conjured by Tin Pan Alley, your skin's dark as night, but I know you've a heart lily white. Alas, in the real Georgia, the benefit of the doubt is not so breezily given. James Harvey and Joe Jordan, two Negroes doing casual agricultural labor while passing through the Peach State, were accused of rape by their boss's wife. Detained in Savannah, they were tried in absentia in Wayne County and sentenced to death. On the scheduled day of execution, June the 30th, Governor Hardwick commuted their sentence. Then, while being transported from the site of execution back to jail in Savannah by a deputy sheriff, the car was surrounded while driving through Liberty County by a mob of about 50 white men. They seized the two Negroes and lynched them at the side of the road. The governor has said he will issue the largest reward permitted in order to capture the perpetrators. Last year, Gerald Chapman, George Dutch Anderson, and Charles Lober teamed up to rob a post office truck in New York City of $2.4 million, which is not to be sneezed at. They have been caught because Mr. Chapman was too ill-disciplined with his share of the loot to resist living a life so lavish it attracted attention. He was arrested after trying to sell gold notes from Argentina to a stockbroker who turned out to be an undercover postal inspector.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air.
In the ongoing Paraguay Civil War, they can no longer get them up in the air, boys, because the entire air force of the Paraguayan state has been destroyed. That's to say, the Army of Paraguay had one lone aircraft. It's been downed, and now they have none. It was an Armstrong Whitworth FK-8 biplane, which no Paraguayan knew how to operate, so it was flown by British pilot Sidney Stewart. Mr. Stewart had been conducting bombing raids since the end of June, including a lethal train attack that killed prisoners of war just days ago. But his biplane was shot down over Pirayu, and Sidney Stewart is now dead. The government of Chile has agreed to a proposal by Peru to ask for American arbitration of the boundary dispute over the Arica province of Chile and the Peruvian department of Tacna, which has been occupied by Chilean troops since 1885. More turmoil in the Americas. Brazil's Congress has voted to impose martial law following the revolt of 301 soldiers and seamen at Fort Copacabana. After heavy bombardment by the Brazilian battleship San Paulo, most of the rebels, 273, agreed to surrender when offered a chance to leave the fort. The 28 who refused set off toward Rio and were gunned down by government troops. Only four are said to have survived.
Running wild, lost control, running wild, mighty bold.
day. Reckless too, carefree mind, all the time, never blue. Always going, don't know where. Always showing, I don't care.
If your car's running wild and has lost control in Jacksonville, Florida, the city has introduced a program it calls Rolling Courts to enforce traffic regulations on Atlantic Boulevard. Justices of the peace and their bailiffs will now stroll their way along the boulevard when policemen, either in cars or motorcycles, spot a driver endangering traffic. They will seize him and proceed along the sidewalk until they meet one of the rolling courts. The court stops, holds a preliminary hearing in the street, and fixes bond for the appearance of the defendant in criminal court. Failure to put up cash bond on the spot results in the taking of the prisoner to city jail for incarceration. Two former Tufts University engineering roommates, Lawrence Marshall and Vannevar Bush, have joined with scientist Charles G. Smith to found the American Appliance Company. Their intention is to manufacture less noisy refrigerators. 15 years ago, in 1907, when J.C. Nichols started buying up land in the Brush Creek Valley, some miles south of Kansas City, observers thought he was mad. The only commercial activity in the area was pig farming, and so the tracts were quickly dubbed Nichols Folly. Now construction has begun on what Mr. Nichols believes will be a whole new way of shopping. Instead of patronizing whatever emporia one happens to have in one's particular town, customers will get in their automobiles and drive some distance to what is called a shopping center, where they will park their cars in giant lots and walk into huge versions of particular types of store, all located miles from anywhere. Don't laugh, construction has just begun on Mr. Nichols' whimsical project. In sports news, Suzanne Lenglen of France has won her fourth consecutive victory in the Ladies' Championship at Wimbledon. She defeated America's Molla Mallory in straight sets, 6-2 and 6-love, in a match that lasted only 23 minutes, the shortest final in the history of the tournament.
Blue because we parted, blue and broken hearted. There was a time I was jolly. You know the reason I'm melancholy, blue, and oh so lonely. True, I want you only. We made a blunder, and lots of times I wonder if you're blue too.
The sky was blue, but on the ground they were broken-hearted and horrified. Lewis James was an aviator and daredevil of the skies who thrilled crowds right up to his final appearance before 5,000 people attending the air show in Homewood, Illinois. Mr. James was attempting to perform the hugely popular stunt of climbing down a rope ladder from one airplane and into another airplane. Unfortunately, the ladder was struck by the second craft and the wildly swaying rope then threw the stunt artist into the lower ship's propeller, a bar of wood turning at 1,500 revolutions per minute. Lewis James was cut to pieces and his mangled and shredded body then fell to earth and among the crowd. More Death in the Air, this time in Germany, and featuring another ace of the air, Lotta von Richthofen, the kid brother of the famous Red Baron Manfred von Richthofen. The younger Richthofen was piloting a German mail plane carrying the actress Fern Andra and picture director Georg Bluen when it crashed due to engine failure. Herr Bluen has survived, and the fate of the Illinois-born Fraulein Andra is not yet clear, but Lotta von Richthofen is dead at 27.
Goodbye. Don't cry. The little choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how bad it makes me.
The choo-choo train on the Atlantic City Railroad's Camden line has made a lot of people sad. An express came roaring through an open switch at Winslow Junction and plunged down an embankment onto a connecting track. Three passengers, three employees, and one Pullman porter are dead, and another 89 are injured. The Spray, a boat that plied the St. Lawrence River, was struck by a large passenger ship, the Candu, near Sorel, Quebec. Five men and a woman, all from the smaller vessel, are reported dead. Catherine Reed was one of the most prolific writers of photoplays in the industry's history. Who can forget such pictures as The Girl in His House, Let's Elope, and Just a Wife? Miss Reed is dead at the age of 41. Jacques Bertillon was a distinguished demographer and statistician who developed the Bertillon classification of causes of death, now used by many countries around the world. However, he started out as a physician, and he was well aware that his own death was approaching. A few days ago, he sent a letter to French newspaper editors respectfully requesting an obituary from them because, quote, "When you receive this, I will no longer exist. Monsieur Bertillon was 70. And that's the way of the world, July 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.